Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
Hey, welcome to episode 53. Just so glad that you're here spending some time with us. And our guest for this episode is Matty Mullins, and he is the frontman for a mainstream rock band called Memphis Mayfire. But he also has a solo project here in CCM space. And I want to get straight to that conversation, but before we do, just a real quick detour. I've talked about this a few times on the podcast, and I know we've heard about it a ton everywhere else, but this season has been crazy, and it seems like it's never going to end, which, spoiler alert, it will. But it's just been a major breeding ground for mental illness, whether it be depression or anxiety, whatever that is, it's just been terrible for that side. And if that's something that has really affected you, I really hope that you lean into what Matty talks about. He has a new single that's been out for just a tiny bit here called No Hold on Me. And that was born out of his battle through depression and anxiety and panic attacks. So I really hope that you lean in and get encouraged by him walking through and overcoming those obstacles. One of the other things that we talk about is him being a Christian in that rock scene there. And he even says that he's answered that question 1,000 times, and I know he has, but I never get tired of asking those kind of questions and hearing the answers from people who live in that space, because we may not be living in that rock scene or those kind of environments, but we all go to work. We all are in places that are not church. And I believe that's something that we all walk through. I think that's something that we all have to experience, is being in a place that is not quote unquote Christian, that may even be hostile to Christianity. So like I said, I never get tired of asking the question. I never get tired of hearing those answers. And I really think that we need to be constantly hearing that encouragement as we go about our daily lives. So I said, I'm not sorry for asking a question that's been asked 1,000 times, because I needed the reminder myself, and I hope that encourages you as well. So that being said, without any further ado, here's my conversation with Matty Mullins. Hanging out with Matty Mullins. Hey, thanks for taking some time to hang out with us, man.
Dude, thank you for having me, and thank you for doing it at 9 a.m. I know that's unorthodox, to say the least.
This is probably my second morning interview in 50 some odd episodes, but I have my coffee here, so I think I'm properly caffeinated. Do you have your coffee with you too, or?
You know what? I actually don't drink anything caffeinated, but I do have my Tangerine LaCroix here, so I'm good to go.
I don't know if we can go any further with this, man. Like, non-coffee drinker, I'm not sure I'm okay with this.
Yeah. You know, I did for a while, and then I realized I wake up with so much natural energy that I realized I was just drinking coffee for the taste, you know? And for someone that's like so hyper-focused, it was actually making it harder for me to focus. So I just realized it wasn't for me, and it's been what, 4 or 5 years now, and I'm feeling good.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm IT by day. My regular job is an IT guy. So, I mean, I think that just is a requirement for us, is to be coffee drinkers and copious amounts of coffee. So,
oh, absolutely. No, I've got nothing against it. I think, and actually my wife's a big coffee drinker. I don't think I could go without the smell of coffee in the house in the morning, because I still love that so much, but I don't need it. I don't know.
We're just the opposite. My wife loves the smell of coffee as well, but she's not a coffee drinker either.
We just got to get coffee candles.
I think they make those. I remember at one point in time, there was something that they called mandels, and they had smells like fresh cut grass, like baseball glove leather, just those kind of manly smells.
Yo, I want the candle that smells like Home Depot.
That would be an interesting one.
I feel like heaven might smell something like Home Depot. There's something about it. I just feel like the air in there is amazing, but that might just be me. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of what Home Depot smells like.
Yeah. I mean, I think the lumber pretty much takes over the smell of the entire store, but I think that like what you were just describing, like leather and tools, like whatever, and obviously the overbearing smell of lumber, but I just feel like that's like the smell, you know. I'm always looking for a candle for the studio that like really makes me feel a certain way. And I'm going to be on the hunt for that one. If they don't make it, I might have to make it myself.
Just sell it along with your, you own a pomade company. And I had the name of it just like 2 seconds ago until I put myself on the spot.
Yeah, no, On Point Pomade, yeah.
That's right. As an unrefined gentleman as myself, what the heck is pomade? I've seen it all over the place, but I have no idea what it is or anything.
Yeah, no, and it's not super complicated. I mean, it would fall in the same category as like a hair gel or mousse or whatever. For specific types of hairstyles, especially like a pompadour, something like, you know, I've kind of had that comb over hairstyle for the majority of my life. It just works really well for that because it'll hold your hair in place all day, but it's water soluble, so it's easy to wash out. And there's obviously a wide variety of different products with different scents and different holds and different bases. Some are petroleum based and some people really like that kind of like greaser look, you know. But for me, I always wanted this one specific hair product that I couldn't find. I just had it in my mind. And I got so tired of trying to like mix different products to get this one result that I wanted that I just decided to make my own. It wasn't even with the intention of it being for the public. And once we had it, I was like, man, this is just perfect for me at least. So we made it available and that became a whole nother thing that takes up a lot of my time. And it's very cool, man. It's like it's an amazing feeling to release this thing that was just for you and see that so many other people have success with it as well. So yeah, it's cool.
And that's crazy. Just something born out of like, hey, I want this and here you go.
And I think that's how all great products are made. If you can solve a problem for someone, you have a great product, you know? And for me, I was just solving a problem for myself. I couldn't find the product I wanted. And so it's been really cool, man. We've got a few different products now. So
I was curious about that. Like I said, as I was looking at things before the interview and all of a sudden here comes this, you know, On Point with beard oil and all this kind of stuff. And it's not what you would expect from an artist, you know, psychic from an artist.
Yeah, totally. And at that time when we decided, you know, and I say we, like I started the company with a business partner from Medford, Oregon, a good friend of mine. At that time, a lot of artists were just, you know, they were doing like merch companies, you know, clothing companies, which is still really rad. I would love to do something like that as well. I've just never had any cool clothing ideas that no one else had done. Everyone always asked me, like, how do you do your hair? What do you use in your hair? And I was never confident in telling them, like, okay, well, you got to go to Rite Aid for this one. And then you got to go to Walmart for this one. And you got to go to Sally's for this one. And so, you know, just dove in. And then through the process, you know, have discovered a lot of other really cool underground brands, have made friends with some of those companies. You know, all these little subcultures, you know, are really cool. I've gotten into barbecue a lot recently as well. And there's like a whole community of people that love barbecue. And it's just a really cool way to meet new people that you wouldn't have met otherwise. So yeah, it's been a blessing.
Netflix just put out a Great Barbecue Champion little contest episode series. Did you see that?
My barber actually just told me about it. I rarely watch anything on TV or Netflix or anything like that. And it's just specifically due to the fact that our schedule won't allow for it, but that's definitely something that I would be interested in watching. I don't know if I could get my wife to be as excited as I would about watching it, but yeah, I'm definitely going to find time to check that out.
Yeah. I did not realize you're talking about that community around barbecue. I did not realize just how extensive and how serious that is until I watched that competition a bit. I mean, I knew that there was a thing around it, but as serious as that is, it just blew me away. And I simultaneously got hungry for like 3 hours straight.
Yeah. It's dead serious, man. I mean, and it's really competitive too. And I'm not a competitive person at all. So I kind of stay away from that aspect of it, all the competition barbecue and everything. But as soon as you get into something, you realize that there's so much of it out there. So like I got connected with this brand of smokers called Traeger and started using them. Love it. It's a ton of fun to just like learn, you know, and start following all these guys on Instagram that use Traegers. And they're like, they're insane. Like some of these guys are cooking like bacon wrapped Oreos and, you know, just, it's a whole different like world and people just experimenting with it and having fun. And if you stay out of the competition aspect of it, I think that you can really develop a lot of like cool relationships. So next month I'm flying out to the Portland area, outside of the Portland area, to barbecue and learn from one of my barbecue idols. He goes by Sasquatch Barbecue, and he's known for going out into the wilderness and just capturing really beautiful views and cooking a steak while he does it, and documents the whole thing. And it sounds funny, but it's amazing. Like, just watching his videos can actually be like really relaxing. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
And that sounds amazing. I mean, having a nice steak in the middle of nowhere in the gorgeous Oregon views, like, man.
Yeah, totally. And I'm from the Pacific Northwest too. You know, I was born and raised in Spokane, Washington. And so getting to go out there, and I'll bring a videographer with me too. We'll document it and just like have a good time and learn from Sasquatch and get reconnected with my roots. That's the goal of the trip. So
the barbecue side for me, I just started getting more into my charcoal grill. We have a small group that I've been a part of for years that's centered around grilling steak and just spending time as guys, you know, talking about guy things, and the women are kicked out. It's just a group for guys to just be vulnerable and just talk and have that open space there.
Man, I am steak. That's amazing, dude. I'm so for that. I feel really blessed. I've got a really good community of men here in Nashville where I live that are a safe place for me, you know, and people that I can just talk to and vent to and learn from and grow with. I don't think enough guys have that. I don't think enough guys have a space where they feel like they can be vulnerable and talk about what it is that they're going through or dealing with. And so that's really awesome, man. I'm stoked for you.
Yeah. And that's really what this was born out of. Not only, you know, is grilling steak great, but I mean, you're right. As guys, at least in America here, it just doesn't seem like that's an option a lot of times. Like, it's just kind of a novel thing that guys get together and talk about, like, actual stuff other than sports or building things or their last Home Depot run, if we want to tie it back to that.
Yeah, for sure. But, and I don't think it's that a lot of guys aren't interested in that. I think that that would be the false belief. You know, I think that there's just not enough communities where that's encouraged or welcomed for there to be a spark to start that fire. So yeah, that's awesome, man. I feel really blessed with the people I have here in Tennessee.
Yeah. And for this crew here, I mean, it's been definitely family. We do it once a month, or we had pre-COVID. It's become its own little kind of family. Yeah, it's been really awesome. And I'm really thankful to the dude who started it. It started with him and a couple of guys that did the same thing. And then he's like, hey, this is something real here. And then started a life group through our church to do that. And it has been something special. And it also has kicked off, you know, me getting a charcoal grill. And it's like, this is where this needs to be. We need to cook on charcoal, not gas.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Charcoal's awesome, man. There's a lot of really cool charcoal options out there too. You know, like, there's such a variety of what you can do with it. And so many different types of, you know, grills and everything, that it seems like such a simple thing, but you can really take it to the next level. So that's awesome.
So you released a new single, No Hold On Me. It was a couple months ago. No, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a few months. Yeah.
I've lost track of time so bad over the last.
Oh, man, we all have. Yeah, we all have.
Talk a little bit about this song and kind of the heart where this came from.
I was actually not supposed to be writing for my solo stuff. We were in the middle of working on a new Memphis record. This was maybe over 2 years ago. And I had a buddy come into town who's a good friend of mine, a phenomenal writer. And he had a co-write booked with a producer named Brian Fowler and another artist. And he was like, hey, man, my artist canceled. Do you want to be the artist in the room? And I was like, well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like a cool opportunity. And so we went in and we just started this song. And it felt, from the jump, it felt special. I think to someone on the outside that is not often a part of co-writes and everything, you would feel like anything that you create is special. But this was just different. It felt like God was saying, hey, if you guys will just be still for a few hours, I'm going to give you this gift that I want you to give to the world. We had this start and we just rolled with it. And it felt like with every note that was played or every melody that was sung, it felt like, yeah, this is going somewhere that we wouldn't usually go with a song, but it feels like we're being led in this direction. And it ended up in like 4.5 hours being completely written. We tracked the demo, and honestly, a lot of demo vocals that I cut became the vocals that are actually on the song. Wow. It was such a gift. That's the only way I can describe it. I wasn't supposed to be writing that day. I wasn't even in that headspace for making music for this project. And God said, here, I want you to take this to the world. And so I had the song for a couple of years, and I had taken a few meetings around town. I was not currently signed. I had was out of my previous record deal. And I just was being prayerful. I was like, God, all right, you've trusted me with this song. I want it to come out wherever you want it to come out. Nothing had felt right. I just didn't have that peace that I was looking for, and kind of sat on it. It got to a point where it had been on the back burner for so long that I just was wondering if it was ever going to come out. And then I had a friend of a friend contact me and say, hey, I want to meet with you. I heard that you have this song that's really special. So I went out and I took the meeting with him. His name's Brian. And he was like, hey, I've heard this song, and you know, I've heard a lot about you. I know that you have this whole other side of your music career in heavy metal. And I think the song is so cool. It's such an awesome part of your testimony that I think that the label that I work for would love to be a part of putting it out. And in that moment, I just felt such peace. I felt God saying, thank you for being patient. Thank you for trusting me. Now here is the opportunity. So, you know, we took a few meetings, but it was pretty much just a done deal, you know, and we put the song out. And I don't have a big presence in CCM, you know, because the majority of my time is spent on the band that I'm in. And so you can't expect people to latch onto something if they don't know a lot about you, or if they don't have your whole backstory, or if you haven't had time to be developed as an artist in that world. And so we put it out literally with just the intention of, man, I really think God wants to use this. We're going to put it out and see if God will use this. And so we did. And I mean, like, the song is doing well, and people are hearing it. And Christian music has been such a big part of my life ever since I was young that I've always had this desire to give that back to God, to write songs in this genre of music that will hopefully do for someone else what Christian music has always done for me, which is be a constant reminder that God is good, and that he's for us, and that he loves us, and that he is greater than whatever it might be that we're facing. And so to see this song, having been a gift and having no idea what was going to happen with it, being where it's at and the stations that are playing it, it's unreal. It is an actual testament to God's faithfulness in my life. And just so thankful for it.
That's crazy. So before I kind of dig into a little bit of the backstory of the song, I got to know, who was your bands growing up? You're talking about that you grew up with Christian music. I know you're roughly around the same age that I am. So I'm curious to see who you were listening to.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to come as much of a surprise. You know, I think DC Talk is like one of the greatest groups, if you want to call them that, of all time. I mean, what still blows my mind about DC Talk is that you can put on Supernatural and it will sonically stack up against anything that's out right now currently. Like, they were so far ahead of the game and so beautifully creative. It was an incredible time for music and what they did for the genre. But yeah, I mean, Newsboys, Audio Adrenaline, you know, like, it was all that. And my mom would take us to concerts all the time. In Washington, where we're from, you know, like, Jesus Northwest was a big one. Creation Fest. You know? Yeah. So we used to go to that. My older brother was in a Christian band as well. And so that was just such a huge part of my life, and always has been. You know, I think it always will be.
Since you gravitated towards the metal scene, were you like a fan of Thousand Foot Crutch and those guys as well?
Yeah, totally. You know, like, when I started getting into hard rock music and everything was like high school, you know, it all kind of started with bands like Reliant K and like the Supertones, you know? But eventually, when like Tooth and Nail Records, Solid State Records started putting out heavy music with a positive message, it was so magnetic for me. You know, the energy of the live show and how loudly something was being proclaimed, yeah. You know, especially with like all the angsty emotions of a teenager, I was just like, man, this is it for me. So I started a band and did that in Spokane, and out of nowhere had an opportunity to audition for a newer band that had already signed a record deal in Texas, and did it. It was crazy. I think there was something like 180 auditions. No reason why I should have even been heard in that moment. Wow. God orchestrated that, and it happened. And my wife and I, at 19, we got married when we were 18. At 19, we packed up and moved from Spokane, Washington to Dallas, Texas, with absolutely no idea what we were going to do. All I knew is that I felt like this opportunity had been handed to me, and we chased it. And that's 11 years later, still exactly what I'm doing today. I play for the same band, and we are currently writing and recording our seventh full-length album, and we've played all over the world, and God has just really been faithful and been able to use us in a lot of dark places. So it's cool, man.
I didn't realize that Memphis May Fire came from Dallas here.
Yeah, Dallas, Texas based. Kellen is the only member in the band that actually grew up in Texas. He lived in Plano is where he was from. I think he went to Plano West or Plano East High School.
Yeah, that's actually where I live right now. I'm in Mansfield. Probably at that time it was cow pasture.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, Texas was such a huge part of our band coming up. You know, coming from Spokane, which is a smaller city, and being a part of this band from Dallas, like, the music scene was unreal. The independent and local music scene was thriving. You know, there was a promoter named Mike Zimmer, and he put on shows at the Plano Center. And I mean, there was 6,000 people there. It was unheard of how successful that scene was at that time. So to be kind of thrown into that was a huge blessing and a big part of the reason why we even had the start that we did.
So now that we've kind of taken that rabbit trail, kind of going back to your song, No Hold On Me, one of the ways that it was marketed for us was, you know, it's a song that was talking about your anxiety and depression. Can you speak a little bit to that side of it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that what's so great about the song is that the song is a declaration of freedom from anything that's holding you down. You know, freedom from anxiety and depression, absolutely, in my experience, but also freedom from addiction, freedom from pain, freedom from trauma, freedom from failure. I think that it can speak to any walk of life because, you know, pain is such a universal language, and we all go through these things as human beings. And so in my experience, absolutely. Yeah, I had a really rough bout of anxiety and depression that came out of nowhere and lasted for years. I have talked about this on every podcast I've ever done, and I love talking about it. I think that spreading awareness for mental health is so important, especially in 2020. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about it. So I was living in Seattle. I was on tour and had a really rough flight. Never scared of flying or anything like that, but I had a short flight from one part of Florida to the other, and I was on like a little 10-seater little prop plane. We were just getting thrown around in the sky. And I remember looking over at the flight attendant and she was praying. She had her hands up and she was praying. In that moment, I was like, my body started to shut down. I was like, well, what's this? You know, like, I was like, I've been in a million planes. This is fine. You know? And I remember just kind of like frantically digging through my backpack and not really knowing what I was looking for or anything. And I was years later having realized that in that moment, I was just trying to escape the feeling that I had. So we landed and I never really felt the same. I kind of felt off balanced and just, I felt kind of like I was on the verge of something bad happening at all moments, and kind of dealt with it, felt okay. And then a couple weeks later, I woke up and I was in the front lounge of our bus. We were playing in New Jersey. I was certain that a 747 was going to crash through the window, or, you know, something terrible was going to happen to somebody. And I was like, what is this feeling? And I went out and I looked in the mirror and I felt like I could hear these voices in my head, and I was just out of body. Like, it was terrible. And that lasted for years. I went to the hospital because I thought I might be having a heart attack and found out that it was a panic attack. And but I didn't know what it was or where it was coming from or why it was happening. And so I just had years of grief, and that led to depression because I didn't know if it was ever going to go away. And living in that space was so hard. And I did faith-based therapy here in Tennessee. We were living in Seattle, but I came down here to Franklin to a place called the Refuge Center. It's an incredible place for healing. It was life-changing. You know, and I learned so much about myself. During that time, we were attending a church in Seattle that was new to us. And God had really put that church in our lives at the perfect moment. And I was so infatuated with everything that this pastor would say and how he would preach. And so I brought an Apple TV on tour, and I Velcroed it to the wall. Nice. In the bus. And I just watched every sermon that this guy has ever preached, at least that was documented online. And I just started to see God transform me. He said, I know that you got saved when you were 6 years old, but up until this point, you've really just been carrying your parents' faith with you. And I know you trust me, but I don't think that you know me. You don't know me as your father. You don't know how much I love you. And in this moment, in this season, I'm going to show you. It was a couple years that was really hard, but it was years that I would never take back, because it was a moment that I was forced to grow. And sometimes I think as human beings, we can get so comfortable with something and not even realize that we have, and really need these seasons where we're pushed forward to grow and to know Christ and to understand him as a loving father. In that moment, and having come out of depression and having been free from anxiety, writing that song, "No More Shackles on My Feet, the Devil's Gotten No Hold on Me," just felt like this victory chant. And I knew that it would be that for so many other people that might hear the song. So yeah, I hope that wasn't too long of an answer. Sorry.
That's great. That's amazing. You're talking about that. And now as we parallel that to everything that's happened in 2020 here, I mean, it just seems like depression and anxiety is just so rampant.
Skyrocketing. Yeah.
Just this election cycle has put people in such anxiety and stuff. I mean, it's just incredible to see that happen this year.
Yeah.
Incredible is probably not the right word, but depressing.
Yeah. Incredibly terrible. Yeah.
There we go. I realized that as soon as that came out. It's like, no, it's not incredible.
No, I get it. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's been such an unsettling time, you know, no matter what side you're on politically, no matter what you believe about current events or anything like that. It's unsettling for everybody. I think everybody kind of just feels unsafe, and the whole COVID thing just makes it really sent everything through the roof. And I think a lot of people just are on edge, you know, and not knowing how to deal with that. I don't know how far I want to go down this rabbit hole, but I really do believe that in high school, we should be learning about mental health. We should be learning about anxiety and depression and how to get through that or work on that when those things creep up into our lives, because so many people feel these feelings for the first time ever and they have no idea what to do or where to go or who to talk to, and you feel so alone. For me, the experience through this whole time, obviously there's so much unsettling that's going on, but all the tools that I have that I've learned through therapy and all this peace that I have from knowing the Lord has really been a blessing through such a trying time. You know, my band can't tour, and my wife actually lost her job due to COVID as well. I know it happened to so many. And in those seasons, you really just kind of sit back and you're like, God, what's going on here? You know? And we have been so lucky to feel this overwhelming peace from God just saying, listen, this is a crazy time. And I know that there have been a lot of crazy times in history. Right now, I'm telling you, no matter what happens, I'm on the throne. I will always reign, no matter what happens, no matter what you see. And we're just living in that, man. We're trusting that.
Not only in, you know, high schools, sometimes I have a hard time with how the church handles mental health, you know,
sure,
and working through depression, because it's a tough subject. And what we were talking about earlier with guys having that space to talk and just to get some of the stuff out is just so important. And, you know, why is that so uncommon?
Yeah. Well, I think that it all comes down to experience. You can only really truly be empathetic for something that you've experienced yourself. And so I think that the church, a lot of times people are looking to people for the answers. I think that's the biggest issue is, you know, you go, you're a part of a church community and you're all following Jesus, but then there's maybe someone that's a person that everyone's looking to for the answers. And maybe that person has never dealt with this specifically and was never taught how to deal with these things specifically. And when it comes up, it's like, well, the first thing you want to say is, well, let's pray about it and it'll go away. And it's like, well, no, I mean, you know, the human body is imperfect because of sin. And because of that, these things happen. So I was so fortunate to do faith-based therapy here in Franklin, Tennessee. And I wish that was an asset that just everybody had access to. And it's a tough subject because there's not a whole lot of curriculum for it. There's not a whole lot of teachings for it. There's not a lot that people can like really look to and know what to do. And so it is hard, but I'm never afraid to have that conversation. You know, I really do believe that God allowed me to go through this season of my life so that I can walk through this season of life with friends and family and fellow believers. And so I think doing podcasts like this and talking about it is part of that.
For somebody who's having that hard time and just with everything that's going on, that's kind of stuck in that depression and anxiety rut and all that, what would you say to someone that's living in that moment, that's their reality right now?
You know, if if you don't have somebody that you feel safe talking to, someone that will really listen and understand what you're going through, I would recommend finding a faith-based counseling center where you live. For us, you know, it's the Refuge Center for Counseling in Franklin. And I don't know what it might be in your city, but I just think that God was so present in that room with me when I was working through these things and learning about myself and learning about anxiety and where it came from and how it all started. And I just think that it's an incredibly powerful tool, and I think it should be used. Yeah.
That's awesome. So as we're talking, as we're getting set up here, there's been a lot of albums that have had the end of their production cycle, you know, that have released in this whole season, where Memphis May Fire, you guys are working on a new album now. You started that through this process. Talk a little bit about that new album and how it is kind of recording in this kind of weird season.
Yeah, what I was saying is that a lot of artists had just finished an album when COVID hit, or had just, you know, announced touring plans and just kind of felt like everything was swept out from under them. And we feel fortunate because, you know, we had planned to be off for some of this time doing a record. And we have had tours canceled, and we obviously wouldn't have spent this much time on a record. But in the grand scheme of things, it's been a blessing. You know, like, we really wanted to write a special record that we know that our fans, old and new, really would look forward to. This time has given us that opportunity. We've had setbacks. You know, we couldn't travel to write with people that we wanted to write with and things like that. But I was able to utilize a good friend of mine here that writes in that genre of music, and we had a great time writing together. And you know, I've recently done a studio build out here at the house that I live in. And so I'm recording everything vocal related here in my studio. And our guitar player, Kellen, who is producing the record, has a studio in his house as well. And so, you know, we're able to kind of do this record in a COVID safe way. That's been a big blessing as well. So it's a ton of fun. You know, we're I think getting back to our roots as, you know, kind of the band that was young and just on fire back in 2010, 11, you know, and it's fun. 2020 has been so chaotic for so many people that to write like a really heavy kind of like just a record that people can use to kind of get some of those emotions out is awesome, man. We're having a great time making it. So,
and it's so crazy at the beginning of all this that you could not find any studio gear whatsoever, like no production gear for church, no. Nothing. Like 6 months ago, you almost could not build out a home studio.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, I mean, there's two problems with that. It was a lot of people were like, okay, well, I'm home, so I'm going to invest in this audio equipment so that I can develop a podcast, or so that I can, you know, work on my craft, my art, whatever. And so a lot of that stuff got bought up. And then now with manufacturing facilities being closed down due to COVID, they couldn't make anymore. And so, you know, we got a couch. My wife and I got a couch for our living room, and it took 3 months for it to be delivered. You know, it was crazy. It did a whole lot of different things to us. You know, the microphone I was supposed to use on the record, like, we couldn't use and all that because of COVID like stuff. And it's been an interesting time, but regardless, like, we're persevering and, you know, we're making a record that we're proud of. And so it's been a blessing.
Yeah. You're talking about that mic. It threw me off as I was looking past your Instagram, because I use a Telefunken for the podcast here.
And is it the M82?
I believe so. It's more the mic, traditional mic style.
Cool. Very cool.
And it's been 6 months since I bought it, so I don't completely remember. That's terrible, but I think half the reason I bought it was just because of the name itself.
Yeah, totally. Yes. I mean, Telefunken, I mean, they really are the leaders in that world of microphones and technology. I mean, it's just like, they have some of the greatest sounding microphones of all time. You know, the 251 is a legendary microphone. So I've been, you know, really excited about just getting connected with them. And they just released a new microphone that I'm using on this record called the TF-11. And it's been fun, man. It's really fun to experiment with different microphones and find out what makes them special. So
anytime you get into music, like for me, it's guitars and just digging through all the different components of, or the different types of guitars, the different kind of effects and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's like, what can a vocalist do? Well, microphones.
Yeah. Microphones and compressors, man. That's our obsession.
Well, we'll kind of wrap this up. I'd just like to hear a little bit about being a Christian, not necessarily a Christian artist, but, you know, being a Christian And I'd say, you know, the metal scene is probably not predominantly Christian. And some of the metal the heavy rock shows that I've been to have been a little dicey. But, you know, talk about just being a Christian and, you know, keeping that faith in that kind of environment.
Yeah. Man, I've answered that question so many times. And I think it changes every now and again. You know, I'm always learning. But I think that when people are saying, you know, how do you keep your faith in that world? I would say that my faith keeps me. You know, when you exist in that world where, you know, there's so many people that are looking for something, you know, looking for a place they belong or looking for something that would make them feel loved or make them feel special, heard. Coming from where I come from and having my faith as my foundation has been a huge blessing, more of a blessing than it's been a trial. Do I take flack for it all the time? And it's always from people that I don't know personally and people that might feel like me sharing my faith is me trying to shove something down their throat. It's not that. I'm so blessed to have opportunities to exist in these two polar opposite worlds where I can express myself in a loud way for this crowd and still, you know, in interviews and in between songs on stage and these days especially, just have the ability to hopefully speak life into people that are really wanting something deeper. You know, it's been probably what you'd expect it to be, but it's been a blessing. So
the picture that I have in my head with a lot of rock is, you know, that people are just searching for something and they've found it either in sex, drugs, and rock and roll, to pardon the cliche, or, you know, something, you know, along those lines. Is that something that you see in that scene where it's just filling that gap? And is that kind of the difference with you having the faith?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that everybody, all human beings are searching for something. We're so fortunate as believers to really have our foundation be in Christ, to say, this is who I am. And I know that this short life that we have on earth is not where I belong, but just a phase in where I'm, you know, on the way to where I'm going. So yeah, man, I mean, I think everybody is looking for something. Everyone is trying to fill a void, and it's no different in rock than it is in any other genre.
It seems like, you know, the faith, when people are looking for that something, it just seems like an automatic rejection. And I don't know, to me that it's kind of, it's tough for me to get my head around as someone who's been a believer all my life, just like you. I was saved probably when I was 8 or 9, something like that. But just that kind of instant rejection, just, I can't fathom that personally.
You have to put yourself in the shoes as much as you can of someone that wasn't raised in that environment, someone that has not always been around that verbiage and just those types of morals and things. And so I think that, you know, someone who doesn't know if they can trust you because they don't know you does not want to be told what to do or what to believe. And I think that that's human nature. And I think that what we need to do as believers is invest in people and love people and get to know people so that instead of telling them about Christ, they can see Christ in us. I think that's the goal, man.
Yep, absolutely. You said that a lot better than I led you to. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Cool. Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us, and man, we are excited for the new Memphis record.
Hey, thanks so much, man. We're excited to put it out.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.